Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, March the 9th. And what is becoming the topic, I think, of the moment, and that is the situation on the border. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And the perfect storm that I think made all of this possible. You know, these things, they happen because certain things come together and happen. And I'll tell you a little bit what I think happened. I'll tell you tonight why I think the situation of the border got totally out of control. If some of you had the time this weekend, maybe you saw the interview between Prince Harry and his wife Meghan. Well, I've got a couple of thoughts on that as well. The governor of Texas is getting very, very, very visible these days with respect to the situation on the border. And you may have seen the interview that he did with Fox News this morning, probably with others as well. And this is a pretty good guy, Governor Abbott. And this is, I think, a man who's growing more and more frustrated with what's happening on the border, no question about it. But let me begin with just a little bit of breaking news. This happened here in the last hour or so. The state of Maryland is now going to be lifting all of the restrictions. And they're basically saying that the number of people who've died from COVID has dropped significantly since December and January, and that it's time to remove most of the restrictions. Now, they're still going to have you wear a mask, which is fine with me. I have no problem with that. It's the same thing here in Texas. I mean, if you want to wear a mask, feel free. If you don't want to wear a mask, well, you don't have to in Texas. But I have the right as a proprietor in Texas to tell you that you have to wear a mask if you're coming into my business. So, you know, everybody wins in Texas with what we did. And nobody's being forced to do anything, which is what I like about it. There was a very interesting, before we get to the border, there was a very interesting presentation that Sean Hannity made on his Tuesday night TV show. And the reason I bring this up is because there's a headline on the Fox News website right now that Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, is apparently taking more and more, holding more and more conversations with foreign leaders, a job that historically belongs to the president. She's doing a lot of that now. She's holding these conversations with foreign leaders. Why is that happening? Nobody explains it. Nobody can explain anything about President Biden. He looks, when you see him in public, he doesn't look like he is 100%. And I feel bad having to say that because I just, you know, it's uncomfortable to say that about somebody, especially the president of the United States. But when you see him, there's obviously a problem there. And normally, from what I understand and have seen in good friends or even relatives of mine, that situation only gets worse. It doesn't get better. So I think that this White House needs to come clean with the American people and tell them exactly what kind of condition the president is in, because he does not look very normal. The other day when he forgot the name of the Secretary of Defense and he forgot the name of the building. I mean, come on. I mean, didn't he have a look? I'm not expecting this guy to be perfect. Okay, don't misunderstand. But if you're the president of the United States and you're going to give a little speech at the Pentagon, shouldn't you have something in front of you to remind you that that's the Pentagon? I don't know. I'm trying to be fair. But at the same time, it's very disturbing when you realize that this man could very well be getting a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning any day, and he has to make a snap decision about whether or not to use nuclear weapons or whether to react militarily. There's a lot of stuff that the president does, and he's got to be alert. And I don't sense that President Biden is, frankly, very alert. I just think it's obvious to anybody watching it. So if you have a chance, watch what Sean Hannity had tonight, Tuesday night, on his television show. Well, let's talk a little bit about the border. It's becoming a very difficult topic because this is a self-inflicted attack, if you will. This was not happening 2 months ago, 3 months ago, when President Trump was in the White House. And the reason it was not happening is because President Trump had implemented certain policies on the border in negotiation with the president of Mexico, in negotiation with the presidents of Central America, and those policies were very clear. If you want to come to the United States on an asylum basis, you have to wait in Mexico. You don't come in, get a number, and we'll call you when your case is ready. No, you'll get a number, but you got to wait in Mexico. The minute that policy was created, the caravans stopped and the people stopped coming because they're not interested in staying in Mexico. That's not their objective. They're not interested in waiting in Mexico. All right, so they want to come into the United States as they had before. But now, of course, they're coming in, and they're coming in large numbers. And this is creating all kinds of problems at the border because we just don't have the personnel to be, you know, doing as much as we're asking them to do, being babysitters for many of these children as well. Then the other problem is these people come north. And sometimes, you know, sometimes they come north and they bring COVID. As we learned the other day, many of them have COVID, which is not so so unusual, given the fact that they're coming from Mexico and Central America, regions that have been very hard hit by COVID, especially Central America. These are very poor countries anyway. So on top of that, you have a terrible disease, you have a breakdown in their economies, they lose a lot of the tourism money, which is very important in those economies, because Americans are not traveling, obviously, because of COVID. And all of a sudden, these countries are very fragile, and they don't have the ability to provide health care. So many of these people have COVID. They're showing up at the border, and we're letting them in. What a crazy thing to do. So you have a perfect storm here. Element number one is that very important policies and very important conditions that President Trump had put into place, especially Remain in Mexico, and ending catch and release, which was another insanity of the Obama administration, all of that has been reversed. And here's the problem, and this is the other part of the perfect storm that I'm talking about. The minute that people in Mexico and Central America learned that the Biden administration was going to reverse those policies, as soon as they learned that, they started coming. They started coming. And they're going to come in huge numbers. I was watching the governor today, the governor of Texas. And the governor of Texas was saying that was citing some unbelievable numbers. But clearly, in the first couple of months of 2021, we're like way ahead of where we were at this time a year ago. And I mean, significantly, a lot more people have come in. So this is a problem. This is a huge problem, and it's not going to get better. Not going to get better, and it doesn't do the media any good. It doesn't do the media any good to continue avoiding the topic. They need to confront. The media needs to confront the Biden administration, and they need to confront them with questions about this crisis, because it is a crisis. And if the Biden administration is not calling it a crisis, well, they're not being honest with themselves. And they're not being honest with the American people. So it's time to call it a crisis. It's time to deal with it. It's time to explain to the American people exactly how this situation on the border is good for the United States at this moment. We need to learn why this situation is good for the country. What is behind this? What is driving this? What is driving this policy of bringing into the country at a time like this people who are not going to be able to find work? Because there isn't any work in the industries that they work in, the restaurants, the hotels. Most of these people, again, let's be honest about this. Most of these people do not speak English, and they're not very well educated. They don't have a lot of skills to find a job. Most of them ended up working in restaurants and in hotels. Unfortunately, those industries right now have been very hard hit, and they're not hiring. They're not hiring. Many of them are operating at 50% if they're operating at all. So they're not going to be hiring new people. So why are we bringing in new people to compete with Americans or even the illegals who are already up here who've lost their jobs. I wonder how they feel about this. So what a mess. What a mess. That's all I can tell you. What a mess, and what an absolute mess has been created by the Biden administration, and it's not going to get any better because they're going to be coming and coming and coming and coming, and it won't be long before you see literally a tsunami of people trying to get into the United States. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Again, I just want to remind you that Governor Abbott of Texas was down on the border today, and he gave a press conference, and he looked awfully frustrated with what the Biden administration is doing or not doing and the policies they are following. And I think he made it very clear that these policies are hurting Texas. They're putting the lives of people on the border at risk. And this is not good for the country. Again, this is the question I would ask President Biden if I was at one of his press conferences, whenever he holds one. I would ask, Mr. President, explain to me, how is this good for the country? Explain to me, how is this good for the country right now? I don't think he has an idea. I don't think he has a clue, unfortunately. Mr. Vice President Biden, Mr. President Biden doesn't have a clue. Well, Megan and Prince Harry were on television Sunday night. I just learned today that 17 million people watched that. So it did have a good audience. And I forgot what network it was on. Oprah Winfrey was the hostess or the moderator, but I forgot what network it was on, one of the networks, whatever it was. It got 17 million viewers, which is a pretty good audience. Apparently it was also shown in the UK, I assume, maybe Canada as well, because we usually see the same stuff, or the Canadians usually get the same stuff we have. A lot of the TV has common presentations. But anyway, I thought that the whole thing was a waste of time. And I wrote an article about this today at the American Thinker, where I look at these two people and I say, you know what, here is a couple who apparently are not happy. And they're not happy with, they're not happy with the royal family. And it just looks to me like a couple of people who are whining and complaining. And, you know, they shouldn't be. They have a lot of things going for them. They have a new baby coming. But yet they're not happy. They're not happy. And I just think that this is so typical. This is so typical of the woke culture. They're never happy. They're always complaining about something. So I'm not interested in what they have to say. And I honestly don't think a lot of Americans are either. And certainly the reaction that I've heard on the radio and on television to the two of them was not very good. And I understand it was even worse in the UK, where I think a lot of people in the UK are fed up with these two. More Meghan, I think, than Prince Harry. I think Prince Harry is still pretty popular, but Meghan is not. And I think a lot of people really despise her. And I just don't know how that marriage is going to work out, but I hope it does, because they have a new baby coming, and it would be nice for that marriage to continue because of the two babies in their family. Well, on this day in 1959, this is a day that changed the lives of so many young women. Because on this day in 1959, Barbie was introduced. And if you're a young woman who grew up in the 60s and 70s and 80s, maybe even now, I guess, you certainly know who Barbie is. Barbie, of course, was that little doll that every girl had. My sister had a ton of them. And every little girl, I assume, had that many as well. So we say happy number 62. Can you believe that? Happy number 62 to Barbie. And I hope that Ken takes her out tonight and they go dancing. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.